All right, thanks, Lydia and Caleb, for great reading and prayer. And yes, good morning on another beautiful July morning. Man, it's good to be out and get this sunshine and beautiful weather that we've had at the end of this week. The last 2.5 days were great for Michelle and I. We got to go to a little gathering out in Mechanicsburg with some other people who are also really hungry to see Jesus and know Jesus, and we were really challenged by this whole renewing of our mind. That was a big emphasis on how are we renewing our mind to think like Jesus, and we were really challenged by that. And we also heard some great stories of how God is at work in lots of different places. Unfortunately, it was the nicest 2.5 days of the entire summer, and we were mostly inside, so that was kind of a shame. But we were so encouraged, and even as Chad mentioned again this morning in some of those songs about being a community where the Holy Spirit dwells among us. There was just one story that a person shared when they were ministering at a church. I think it was in Brazil. And this beautiful expression of the reality of the Holy Spirit living in this group of people. She was telling the story of how they were in worship, and during the worship time, in this church, probably not a lot bigger than this building, maybe a little bit bigger, there was a boy on the side that came in and couldn't stand without crutches. He had braces on his legs, he had fallen, hit his back, and there was some severage of his spinal cord, and he couldn't stand up without crutches. So they come in, and she notices this boy, and the parents, of course, brought him in and were pretty upset that obviously their son couldn't walk without crutches. So as they're worshiping God, all of a sudden his body starts shaking, this son. And he begins to stand up. And of course his parents are standing up. This is like over like a 15-minute period, so it's happening kind of slow, right? So he begins to stand up, and as they just keep worshiping God, nobody's even praying for him. Like, they're just together and the life of God is there. And eventually this boy stands up, his braces are off, he starts thanking God, standing there, and then he starts walking around, and then he starts running around the sanctuary as the whole church is just worshiping. The speaker said she was so thankful, obviously, for the little boy, right? That's the mercy of God, encountering something that none of us could do to help him. And she said she felt thankful for the boy, but especially for the parents. Because you know how hard it is when someone you love is suffering and you just can't do anything to help them. You're just powerless. And all of a sudden, these parents watch as the mercy of God comes into the body of their son and the severage in his spinal cord is totally set free. Now we can all say, hallelujah. Let's say that together. Hallelujah. Yeah, we talked about that in Sunday school. That is a big hallelujah. This boy, for the rest of his life, will walk. Because he encountered the mercy of God in a moment. And that just filled me, again, with so much hope. There's lots of other stories we could share, but this is the another part of the reality of what it means to be a people where God's Spirit lives among us. Because these are the things that God's Spirit loves to do. So we came away very encouraged and very challenged. And with lots of good stories that I want to continue to share. As I said earlier this spring, I guess, that God really challenged me with that verse from Psalm 95 that says, tell and declare the great works of the Lord. And I thought, man, I don't do that enough. Just tell and declare the great works of the Lord. And we want to be a people that tell those works of the Lord. And I want to be more faithful in my own life to do that. So we're in Romans 12, and I think we're actually going to get to verse 8 today. So thanks for staying with us, Romans 12, 1-8. Sometimes it's good to get new information, and sometimes it's good to just sit with the same verses over and over and over again, especially verses like Romans 12, 1-8, that are so full of what it means to walk with Jesus and to be his people in the world. So we went over verses 1 and 2, and we said these give us kind of an overview or a foundation of the Christian life, really. If you remember Romans 12, 1, you've probably memorized this again at some point in your life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So first, we encounter, we view, we experience God's mercy. And as Stacy said, yeah, I encourage you to keep, even during the service or after, continue putting pictures and words on those posters to help us as a community have a visual sign. Yes, the mercy of God is around us. And we feed our minds on the reality that God's mercy is inhabiting our world. It's everywhere. And it is God's mercy, the encountering of God's mercy, that causes us to say yes. Yes, Jesus, right? Remember that invitation? Got something so much better for you. Do you want it? Yes. Thank you, Lord. So we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Because yes, this mercy is what we want to rule in our lives. And as we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, takes us to verse 2, right? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Why? Because we're not in the center anymore. Now we're worshipers around his throne, offering ourselves not for ourselves, but for him. So every thought and motivation that is the old self-centered way of thinking, what the Bible calls our flesh, we say, no, that's no longer who I am. That will no longer live in my mind. That will no longer be what I feed my mind on. What I'm now feeding my mind on is the mercy of God that brings me into worship and thanksgiving. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that process that we're all on, choosing the thoughts of God over our own thoughts. And then we went into verse 3 a little bit last week. Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think, okay, there's that word think again, right? So Paul's primarily focused on how are we seeing and understanding ourselves in this first part. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So again, this is Paul's calling us out of the center. He's saying anytime you think that you are in the center, that it's about you and for you and from you, you have to say no. Do not think that way anymore. Now you're thinking like people who are with everybody else around the throne of God, offering ourselves in worship for him. He's in the center. So it's not thinking like, oh, I'm so bad or I don't have anything to attain. Obviously, that's not how God thinks either. But it's saying, I am no longer the center. He is the center. And then it goes on, and we're going to go on to verse 4 to 8 through this morning. But verse 4 says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And that's the part I want to talk about this morning and think about together. Each part belongs to all the others. God has put us together as a body, and each part belongs to all the others. So as you hear that, we are part of the body of Christ. If we've said yes, again, if we've given our lives to Jesus, then we become part of his body, each with their own function, and each member belongs to all the others. So how does that strike you? If you just think about it, you hear me say that. You belong. I mean, look around. You belong. I belong to Cheryl. I belong to Sarah, right? You belong to me. We belong to each other. That's pretty strong language. We belong to each other. So one of my challenges for this week is to sit with God and say, God, what does it mean that I belong to each other? That we belong to each other. And God gives us these pictures to help us understand what that means. One of the main pictures that he uses is this body, that we are a body. Just like each part of the body belongs to all the others, so we belong to each other. Another picture that we have in our world that could help us understand how parts fit together to form a whole and belong to each other is, of course, puzzles. How many people do we have in here that love to do puzzles? Anybody like to do puzzles? We got some puzzlers? All right, well, I married into a family. A big puzzling family. That sounded bad. A family that loves to do puzzles. The Zooks on vacation love to do puzzles. And I'm trying to learn. But it's not really my forte. Anyway, but we're going to do a puzzle today. The kids already did a puzzle. They practiced one in Sunday school and it did great. So I'm going to ask the kids to help me, or anyone who wants to help the kids, help me with a puzzle. So here's the deal. There's a puzzle on this chalkboard, the outline of a puzzle. Now, the pieces of this puzzle are all around the sanctuary. So in a minute, what I want you to do is to Wait, I'll tell you the rules first before I tell you what I want you. First of all, you can't run. No running. All right? If you run, you got to sit down right where you are. No, just don't run. Second rule is you can't take puzzle pieces away from anybody else. And the third rule is you can only find one puzzle piece and then bring it up. So you can't go around and get all the puzzle pieces and then bring them all up. All right? Just one at a time. So everybody say it with me. First rule. Second rule. Don't take it away from other people. And the third rule, one at a time. That's right. All right. Now, on the puzzle pieces is a number, and the number is on the outline. So that will help you. All right. So if you find a piece, look at the number, and then go put it the place where the number is. And while the kids or those who feel like they want to obey Jesus and be a little child like this morning are putting together the puzzle, I'm going to keep talking. All right, kids, are you ready? All right, everybody look around. Can you see at least one puzzle piece from where you are? All right, this isn't rocket science. And if other people that want to be like children, the rest of you that aren't, whatever, you can help them if you want to. All right, so remember, no running, no taking, one at a time. Are you ready? Okay, you guys work on the puzzle, and when it's done, somebody tell me it's done. I'm going to keep talking to the other folks while you do that. All right, are you ready? Go. No running, walking, one at a time. All right, so this idea of belonging to each other is something that's really difficult for our Western, especially our Western modern minds to comprehend, because we are people that live in a world that is categorized. We like to make categories. We like to take things apart, understand each part, how it works, and then we can put it together. And that mindset of our modern Western culture has helped us in many ways. And it has also not helped us in some ways, just like every single mindset of every culture that's ever been on the world. But this idea that everything is separate and can be known by its parts, it makes it difficult for us to understand that my life is not just my life. That my life is connected in many ways to everyone else's. And God's heart is also for us to be connected. This reality of being intertwined. This reality of belonging to each other. So he gives us these pictures of things like our bodies. Right? Just think about your body, right? You have many members. This is a common thing that we talk about. We are the body of Christ. So we're put together in a way that each part has a function and the whole thing doesn't work unless each part is doing its work. If you have a part that's not working, you know that's a problem. The rest of the body is affected. And the only picture in our culture, or one of the best pictures probably that we have of this lives belonging to each other, is probably with our nuclear family. We've got some sense of health in our nuclear family. There's a sense that we're in it together, that somehow we belong to each other, that your life does affect me and mine affects you, and if you're lacking, I'm going to help you, and if I'm lacking, you're going to help me. And we have some of that in extended family, but and even in our culture, that's less and less, even in our immediate family. Another picture we have, of course, is the puzzle. How are we doing, guys? 6 more. There's one. Anybody else see a piece? Nice. Got another one? Anybody else? We're almost there. So a puzzle, of course, is this idea that one piece off by itself doesn't look like anything. It just looks like a big piece of trash. But as we bring pieces together, as the pieces of the puzzle give up their individual identities and individual working and say, I want what I have to be part of this bigger puzzle, then we get to see, oh, this piece is important. And it's important because of its role in the larger puzzle. Great. Good work, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. Guys were awesome. What is it? All right, there it is. Fire truck. Now, truck, like a body, is something we know that if one part doesn't work, they're in trouble, right? Michelle's sister got home from Germany, and the person that was going to pick them up, one part of their van didn't work in the middle of the highway. And guess what? They never made it to the airport. Only one part out of 1,000 parts of that car didn't work. Guess how far they got? Nowhere. They sat on the highway and had to be picked up because their car didn't make it. So that's the same. These are the pictures that God is trying to help us understand that as the body of Christ, when we say yes, we offer our lives to Jesus, then we become part of the body. We become a piece of the puzzle. We become a piece that on our own doesn't look like much, but when we bring what we have into the body, then we help the full body become what it was supposed to be. Say amen to that. That's true. That's who each of us is. And that's why Jesus is constantly calling us into deeper and healthier relationship. And that's why we're together as the church. Since COVID obviously was very disruptive in church in all of our lives, but in our church gathering, of course, it was very disruptive. And as I've talked to other leaders and other people, there's this constant question coming up now that helped. During COVID, there was people asking, so why do we go to church? Now, that's a very good question to be asking. We should ask that question at least once a year if we go to church regularly. Why do I do this? For anything we do all the time, we should be asking. And this passage gives us the answer of why do we do this? Now, of course, it's not just Sunday morning. There's lots of being part of the church isn't just a service that we sit through or something we attend, right? It's the relationships. But the reason we gather Sunday morning or other times that we gather are because this reality that we belong to each other. We belong to each other. And it's important to think about how do I understand that concept in being part of Living Light or whatever other connections to the body of Christ that you have. We belong to each other. Because in God's mind, this is the renewing of the mind, right? In God's mind, when he looks at the church, he sees a group of people that belong to each other. That's what he sees. That's what's in his heart. So we can think about, in my heart, how do I view that? How do I experience that belonging? How do I sense that belonging? Is that a reality in my life? And what do I need to do to come more into alignment so my experience and thoughts are aligned with the experience and thoughts that are in God's heart? That's the renewing of the mind, right? That I am more and more conforming to what God sees and thinks. And this part of how we belong to each other is central part of that being renewed. Because at the end of the day, the church was not your idea, and it wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. God decided in his wisdom and love and sovereignty that his desire was to dwell on the earth in a people. Before in the Old Testament, if you wanted to know where is God, where did you go? Where is God? You went to the temple, right? That's where God, that's where his address was. The tabernacle and then the temple and all its iterations. You want to know where God is? Go to the temple. And then Jesus comes and says, I'm going to destroy the temple. Which got him into trouble, of course, as most of the things he said did. Now that the temple is no longer here, in the New Testament, with the Holy Spirit poured out, where does God dwell?
Right here.
He dwells in your heart, that's right. But especially,
in
right?
Heaven.
Yep, that's also correct. You guys are full of good answers today. But Jesus said, right, where two or three are gathered in my name, there. So it's true that he dwells with us. It's true that he's in heaven. But there's something that in the New Testament that is so clear that when there's two or three, doesn't have to be a lot, but when there's two or three that are gathered, that are all have this posture that my life is yours, God. I want your will to be done because I have encountered your mercy. That in that space, God dwells in a way that he doesn't without that. That's where he wants to dwell. He wants people gathered that are with this posture of worship and allowing his spirit to live fully. And in that place, his presence and power will come in a way that it won't without that. That's the story of the kid getting out of the wheelchair, right? If one person would have went and prayed for that kid, I'm sure many did, nothing happened. But it was in the gathering, when there was people gathered around, offering their bodies to God at living worship, in offering their bodies to God as a sacrifice of worship, the Holy Spirit was revealed in a special way. Well, obviously, it doesn't always happen that way. But that's a sign of the reality of how God wants to dwell in the earth. So this idea of church is very important, right? The idea of unity, the idea of coming together around Jesus is central to who we are as the people of God. And that's why it's very important for us to think about, what does it mean for me to belong to the people of God? And what does it mean for others to belong to me? Because when we come with this attitude of worship around Jesus, and we gather with others, our heart in that gathering is that God would live among us, right? That's what Chad prayed earlier today. God, we want your spirit to live among us as we gather. And when we all come with that desire, I am coming because I want God to live among us. We want to see God and know God and experience God in a deeper way because of our gathering. Then we start living these verses of 6 and 7 and 8 in Romans 12. The end of verse 5, each member belongs to all the others. So it says we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesy, then prophesy. If your gift, according to your faith, if it's serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. Encouraging, then give encouragement. It's giving, give generously. If it's lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is not an exhaustive list. And the most important thing isn't even that we understand which one is ours, although that can be helpful. What Paul's exhorting us to is saying, if you're coming to experience more of God's presence, then give him whatever you've got to make it happen. What do you have to help us experience God? What do you have to help us experience God? What do you have? I'm going to offer what I have because I want all of us to experience God together. And when we come with that, saying, God, I'm offering what I have and I want to see what other people have, then this is the place where God can work through each of us in a way that allows his spirit to dwell on the earth in greater and greater power. Amen. Is that what you want when we gather? That's what I want when we gather. Again, not just on Sunday mornings, but this is the time we set apart to regularly gather, but anywhere that two or three are gathered, that's why we're gathering. Because we want God to be in our midst. We become the dwelling place for the Spirit of God. And I love that. You know that I love that because I say it almost every week. But as I was reflecting again on this idea of belonging to each other, there's something so beautiful about that we belong to each other. But with that, those relationships also comes responsibility. Because we know that the people that are closest to us also have the most power to hurt us. We experience this in our families all the time, right? People that are closest to us also have the most power to hurt us or to encourage us and build us up. And if we say, I belong, we belong to each other, then that comes with a responsibility to say, I am going to speak and act in ways that allow the Spirit of God to be increased in this group of people. I'm coming because I want to see the Spirit of God increase. Now, of course, that again goes back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, that it takes for granted that we're a people that have offered our lives to Jesus in worship and are being renewed from selfishness to love. That's our process. We're committed to that process. Because if we're not, then this all belonging to each other is just a fairy tale. There's no hope for that. But if we are committed to that process of being changed from selfishness to love, then when we come together, we're seeking to live out of that love for one another and all of us to experience God together. But each of us has a responsibility to speak and act in ways that allow the life of the Spirit of God to grow among us. And you've all experienced, some of you have told me, that there have been times and spaces in this body where you have brought your, whatever Jesus has given you, and offered it, and it was celebrated. And God's Spirit was released in even greater ways among us. I'm not just talking about filling a role or being part of the service. That's one part of offering your gift. But there's lots of ways that we offer our gifts. And it was celebrated, and the life of God was increased among us. And there were times also, I'm sure all of us have experienced here or in some places, where we brought what God has given us and we offered it, and it was not received well. And the life that God wanted to flow through you was stopped because of the words and actions of other people. You've probably all experienced that at some time in your life. Certainly I have. And some of you have even been brave enough to tell me since we've been here that sometimes one of my words or actions has caused you to not feel like you could offer your gifts fully. And I'm so grateful that people have helped me to understand. I'm also on this journey, right, of moving from selfishness to love. And when I hear that something I've done or said has not allowed people to fully express the life of Christ through them, then what's my response? Please forgive me. Now, some situations are more complex than just please forgive me, right? Sometimes you have to talk and understand and figure out what's happening so that it doesn't just happen again. It's not just about being nice and kind all the time, right? Sometimes we have to figure out how do these relationships actually work, and that's messy. But at the end of the day, my response and our response, when we realize that our words or actions have not allowed the life of the Spirit of God to flow freely through other people or another person, then we say, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm here for. That's not who God is calling me to be. God is calling me to be somebody who comes to offer my gifts and carries responsibility to encourage every gift to come forth. That's not just because I'm a pastor. That's all of us in the body of Christ, right? You have a responsibility to encourage the gifts of the body to come forth so we get to see Jesus more and more and God can live among us. And as we carry that responsibility together, of course, none of us will carry it perfectly. And that's why we have the beautiful gift of forgiveness, like I said earlier. None of us will carry it perfectly. There will be times when we encourage people, and there will be times when we hurt each other. We have to allow that and then be humble enough to say, yeah, I'm sorry. That was not the Spirit of God. That was my own self-centered thinking and acting. Again, those situations are not always easy or simple. But if we're going to be a people that belong to each other, then we need to be a people that are willing to step into those places and really learn together what does it mean to carry the responsibility for each other. So this belonging, we're going to do a quick test right now on our sense of belonging, all right? So I got these little cards, and I need somebody to help me pass them out. Can anybody help me? Anybody at all? Is there anybody in the room? Oh, I need, and also need some help. Can anybody else, can you give one of these to each person?
Yes.
As fast as you can, but don't run. Anybody want to help Austin? All right, Ellie, thanks. You hand those out to as many people as you can. All right, so you're going to get one of these cards. And can anybody tell me what letter's missing in the cards? It's not a IQ test here. Anybody know what letter is missing in the card? Oh. Heard somebody say it? Anybody brave enough to say it a little louder? There it is, Ruth. Ah, that's right. Now, I just have to say this. This is going to be a little corny, all right? And I don't want you to think of, like, middle school basketball. There's no I in team or anything like that, all right? Although that may have been my inspiration for this. So there is an I in Living Light. Actually, there's three of them. So the metaphor breaks down. But the I in this thing represents you, okay? Anyway. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to give you three questions, and you're going to choose a spot on this paper for where you would put the eye, all right? So the first question, if you imagine an eye, and you can write this if you have something to write with, or you can just put your finger on somewhere. The first eye is, how much do you have a sense of belonging here at Living Light? All right? I know that's a tough question to even wrap your mind around, and probably needs a lot more time to think about than I'm going to give you this morning. But so if you put the eye at the bottom, that means you don't feel belong. You don't feel like you belong at all here. If you put the eye all the way up where it's supposed to be, that means you feel like, yeah, this I feel like I belong here. But however you conceptualize that in your mind. Or you can put it somewhere, so it's like a continuum, right? From no belonging to full belonging. So just think about that for a second. What's your sense of belonging here at Living Light? I'll just give you like 15 seconds to think about that. You can think about this more at home. What is your sense of belonging here at Living Light? Where would you put that eye? Now, part of what the next two are going to be about this question of belonging to each other in the sense of knowing and sensing that we are for each other. Now, that's a little bit of a difficult concept, maybe, to feel, but this idea that if I am for you, it means I want what's best. Does that make sense? I'm for you? Like, I'm here to help and serve and support what God is doing in your life. I'm for you. I'm not pushing against you. I'm with you and encouraging and supporting. All right, so the first, the second I, the ing there is, how much do you feel like you are for the other people in this congregation? Where would you put that I? So this means I don't really, not that I don't care about people, but again, kind of from an emotional heart view, I have a desire to see other people in this body grow. I'm for them. I want to give myself so they can grow. So this, at the bottom means I don't really, it's not like a big thing for me. I'm not that concerned about it. Or the top means I'm very committed and concerned at a heart level that I want to see people grow. In these people, right? The Living Light body. Now, I know it's like different for different relationships, and I get that, but just what would you say in general? All right, and the last I is, how much do you have a sense that the rest of the body, again, I know it's different, but in general, the others are for you, that when you step into this place, you're stepping into a community that really wants to see you grow. What is your sense of that? So, I understand that those concepts are sometimes difficult to understand. I don't know what I feel about that. And certainly, like I said, it would probably take more reflection than what I just gave you there. But at least that idea of starting to think about, God says that we belong to each other. So what is my actual experience or perspective on that? Helps us to know what is the next step that God is calling me to so I can live in the reality that He is living in, that I can think like God, I can experience the body the way He wants me to. So again, it's not a performance test, oh, I'm good or I'm bad. That doesn't do anybody any good. What helps us is to know where we are and then to ask God, how can I move forward? This is where I am, so how do I move forward? And two questions that I want you to think about for that are these two questions. One is, what do I need to do to increase these eyes? What do I need to do? What's my responsibility in that? Because we have responsibility in how these things happen. And the second question is, what do I need from others to increase this? Because in all relationships, it's not either or. It's not just other people need to do something for me. And it's also not just I need to do something, right? We have to do it together. So there's some things maybe I need to do to increase my sense of belonging, and there's other things that other people have to do to increase my sense of belonging. And how we understand, acknowledge, and live into that allows us to keep moving forward in this very important part of our communal life together. And I just want to encourage you to take this very simple little card and take another couple minutes or a space this week and think about these questions. Because even as we get to the congregational and pastoral review that Josiah talked about, this is a really important time in our congregational life. Obviously, we've been through a lot the last 2 years, and who knows what's coming in the next couple years, but this is a great space to just step back and think about, yeah, what does it mean to be part of the body? Especially here at Living Light. Obviously, we all have other connections with the body of Christ in different ways, but as we think about our engagement here, what does that mean, and how, what's my responsibility to increase my sense of belonging, and what do I need from other people, the community, to help me increase that sense of belonging? Because God has called us together. We don't get to follow Jesus and not be part of his body. Simply not an option. If we follow Jesus without being part of his body, we're simply, it's a farce. It's not a reality of what Jesus has actually called us to. And so we, as the people of God, want to continue to lean in and try to understand, God, what does it mean to be part of your body? And what are you asking of me so I can step in and make this reality that every piece of the body comes together so that we can see this beautiful picture of Jesus revealed on the earth as he dwells with his people? Let's pray together. So today, Lord, we just want to agree with you. Again, as we're on this process of renewing our mind, of being transformed by the renewing of our minds, we continually want to agree with you, God. And we agree with you this morning that you have made us to belong to each other. And we, Lord, we have live that like everything else imperfectly, but we want to live it more, Lord. We want that to be our lived experience deeper and deeper as we journey with a body, with this body at Living Light. So I just pray, God, that you would continue to reveal to us, even this week as we sit with these very simple questions, that our hearts would be drawn to understand, what are you asking of me, God, as part of this body? And what is it, what is my responsibility and part in allowing Jesus to be seen through this body? We want it, God. And we know that if you said it in your word, you are able to accomplish it through us as we say yes to you. So I just pray that you would release that grace over each of us, God, to step into that more fully. And we just thank you, God. We just take a moment to thank you for all the gifts that are right here in this room, God. And as we even, as our mind kind of spans through the room and we think of the beautiful expressions of Jesus that are around us right here. Not to mention in all the other places we go, but this morning we just think about right here how each of these people is helps us to know you and grow closer to you. Each of the people here bring a facet of you that we need to see you and know you more fully. Help us, God, to see that, delight in that, and offer ourselves for you to be seen more and more in the world. We trust you to do that in us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.